Repeater, time out. Next tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
KNH Mobile.
KD2KNH, KD2ESY. Good morning, Charlie. Hope you had a nice weekend. Friday is too far away.
Oh, good morning, Andy. Good to hear you. Were you away on vacation last week?
That's funny. I wish I were, but no.
All right, I guess I just missed you. I hadn't heard you at all last week. yeah, the weekend was good. I can't complain. It was nice. And back to work. Although today's my only day, I have to go to New Jersey for training for the remaining 4 days. So that's going to be fun.
Do you have to commute daily, or are they going to put you in a nice high-end Regency?
Well, I'll be in a nice hotel right across from the Meadowlands. I think it's a Hampton Inn.
You have to stay there the whole 4 days? Or do you get to go home at night?
Nah, there's no point. Might as well relax.
Okay. A little R&R. I get it. Swimming pool. A little candlelight. Maybe a beer at night. No commuting. The best part is not to have to drive around.
Yeah, the only time will be tomorrow morning. I'll have to leave extra early. They don't put me up the night before, so, you know, I'll probably leave at 5:30 in the morning to get there without running into all the traffic. But I'll survive, and it'll be nice not being woken up in the middle of the night by cats, so I get a little 4-day vacation, or 3 nights, actually.
Your cats attack you at night because they're hungry, right? Ours don't bother us. They know better. They better keep themselves occupied.
For some reason, they've got it in their heads that at 3 in the morning, they want a treat. So they actually wake me up to give them a treat. It's kind of funny. But, hey, I'm a slave to my cats.
We have two inside that we rescued, I guess, about 12 years ago. One of them was outside for years. We're able to finally acclimate him to inside. We got him checked out. Everything was good. And he's a little on the skittish side, but he's a loving cat. After the initial try to pet him, or sorry, get yelled at whenever I screw that up. And then they love to get scratched up. We had to sit there on the floor, wagging his tail, wanting to be head to be scratched, back to be scratched. It's nice to have a cat. They're really, it's a nice pet.
And the good thing about cats is if you want to go away for a week, you throw down an extra litter box, extra food, and you're good to go. You don't have to worry about getting anybody to kind of walk them or take care of them. So, you know, I've had dogs, I've always had cats, and you know, once you get to know them, they're good people.
If you want to leave for a few days, you just leave extra food. Are you kidding me? If we put a 25-pound bag out, our cat would just kind of sit there and have a party.
Now that's funny. Now they have food available all day, you know. Anyway, so they don't overeat.
I think there's a thing I saw that's on the market. Plug it into the wall, but it's on a clock. Fill the containers, like with the hard food, of course, not the soft food. That'd be disgusting. And it rotates around for each different day, or maybe twice a day. And it dispenses the food automatically. Now, that would be a good idea. But if the power went out, they'd be in trouble.
Unless you build a battery backup for it. I'm going under an overpass. I don't know if you can hear me. The cat's just keeping busy. It's keeping it busy.
I pretty much made that out. Coming up to Nichols Road, so I'll be at the office in just a few minutes. Our shed was delivered Saturday, and I was looking forward to clearing the garage out so I can fill it with more junk. Not. But they got the wrong siding. So they have to call the Amish in Pennsylvania, send up the correct siding. The salesman apparently wasn't listening, as we told him. The siding that they put on is standard siding. We hate that one. My wife cannot stand that pattern. Dutch lap. One of the flat laps. So it's going to take a couple days for them to get that, and then they'll put it up. Then they actually have to move the whole shed back, because they have to work on the back side. It's right against the trees. Once they finish it, they have to slide that. That thing is heavy. Well, apparently they have a jack to be able to pull this thing around. And I'm so glad this thing is almost done.
Well, that's a good thing. You're almost there. Shame about the mix-up with your siding, but, you know, what can you do? These things happen.
Whenever we work on a project at home, it's never done right the first time. I don't want to put any more energy into that statement, but it's weird that we always have to have something fixed, redone, revised. It never comes out right the same. So I decree from this point forward any more projects on my home are done right the first time.
Well, I'm sure it won't be long now, so, you know. I wish you good luck with that project. I'm just about to my office, too. I'm just about a block away.
Say good morning, and to we go.
Jersey, and learned a lot. I guess it's about a certain type of maybe programming for a new type of copiers or training for repair. Excuse me, just wondering what it was.
Absolutely. We're always going away for school for different equipment, and, you know, unfortunately this one is a follow-up course, so I've got to take the same course again because they added another piece of equipment onto it. So, you know, a week of boredom. Richie, you caught me just as I was leaving, just arriving at my office. Good morning, 73 at the same time. Andy, 73, KQKNH Clear. Have a great day, guys.
Okay. M to wheel. Take care, Charlie. How's your email? I'm having morning coffee. I just woke up. And boy, is my throat clogged. Andy, over to you. Charlie, good morning.
Charlie, 73. Have a good day and enjoy the training. I guess you're not going to be on the road the rest of the week except for tomorrow morning. So we'll catch you the following week. 73. And good morning, Ricardo. I have two lights to go, and I'm at my office.
Okay, very good there, Andy. How's life treating you?
All right, good. Sun came up again. As I say, this rock turned a little bit, so the sun did come up, it looked like. All right, it's always a challenge, Rick. Rich, as you know, it's always a challenge, so we keep going. Do what we can do. Help people we can help, and keep moving forward. Keep positive outlook.
Absolutely. You know, I got a cable bill from Optum yesterday. Would you believe they won almost $500? Because Patty watches a lot of, what do you call, you know, the movies on demand, the new stuff. So you know what I decided this morning? I'm going to ask her to cut it back, and instead, I'll give her money to go to the theater.
My recommendation is to give her the bill. She uses on demand. She knows what it's all about. She knows that you have to pay for it. Either that or dump Campbell and get Netflix.
Hello. Yeah, then I'm going to get a Netflix. That's right. And I'm also going to have an antenna put up for local channels. And I'll give her some money. Not a lot she'll need to go to the theater.
First, give her the optimum bill. She has to take care of that first. She has income. She can buy her own movie. But I don't know what the situation is at home. Not my place to say. $500 for on demand. There's something wrong with that. Sorry. I'm at the office. Rich, I'm going to sign KD2ESY. I'll be clear on your plan.
Okay, Andy, I agree with you. It's way, way too much. See you later, and to be up.
K2KAD, WHCDL, you listening?
Morning, Andy.
Yeah, good morning. I'm heading to a doctor. Appointment this morning. How you doing? I'm on the road.
Morning, Andy. How are you? I'm just waking up. My voice, I'm sure, sounds even worse. I have a lot of phlegm. So how are you? How's life treating you? And I guess you heard what I said to Andy. Not good. Well, good, yeah.
I didn't hear the last part. I got a little bit distracted. I actually left a little bit earlier because to go to the doctor because the traffic in the morning with the kids going to school and the bus. We have a lot of school buses in this area, and they pick up the kids and they hold the traffic because you know the law is you can't pass a school bus when it stopped to pick up kids. You know, they have these little mechanical stop signs that come out. And I actually saw, witnessed a guy who disobeyed that, and there was a cop right there. And he saw it, and guess what? He pulled him over. Put his lights on, and he pulled him over for passing the school bus. So it holds up traffic and slows things down. But you know, you got to be careful because, you know, they don't want the kids to get hurt. It's funny, interesting, passenger buses, like there's one in front of me now, they don't have that. They can pull over at a bus stop and pick up passengers, and you can go around them. That's kind of interesting.
I know.
All right, well, you know, that stuff should be mentioned off the air. if you want to pursue it that way. Yeah. Okay. Well, I can't say anything about that. but you gotta deal with, you gotta deal with. So it was supposed to be a kind of a cloudy, dreary day today, weather-wise. It didn't, forecast didn't say it's gonna be sunny. It's supposed to be wet a lot of days this week, and cool. I'm really waiting for the warmer weather to come back, but that's the way it is. So I guess it's a good day to work indoors and not do too much outdoors. Go ahead and seem to keep the conversation off of any personal stuff. We'll just, you know, we'll just have a light conversation.
Okay, Andy. Well, I like to eat outside. You've been here a couple of times. I love your store. We have a very nice patio.
I'll be back. I have a phone call. WHCDL. I'm going to the phone. I am WHCDL back off the phone. Richie is still there. WHCDL Mobile. Still Mobile. K2K and B, you listening, Rich? WHCDL.
K2CDL, K2K and B.
You might find you somewhere. I wanted to talk to you about the picture you sent.
Yeah, I turned the volume down, so, anyway, what's the opening there for?
I was mentioning, there's a hole, and then you have that little brass set screw. So I wanted to, you have that brass set screw, and then right next to it you have a little hole, right? You see that?
It's the opening that I couldn't figure out what it was for.
You know about this, when you push the wire at the end, into the end of the banana plug, and then you tighten the set screw down and it holds the wire in place. You got that?
Yeah, that's no problem.
So the whole thing, let's put a banana plug on the end of the wire. Now you push that banana plug into the hole, so now you could tie in to that. It's a tie point. You could make a connection to another wire going into that hole. So basically, that's what it's for. It's an expansion. So you could, let's say you want to connect another wire to that, or you want to tap in, is a better word, into that circuit. You put another banana plug on the end of a wire, and you push that banana plug into that hole, and now you have two banana plugs connected together.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. It's just I tried pushing the banana plug in. I didn't want to push it too hard, but I guess I understand. If I would push it hard, it would set in there. Okay. I mean, from that point of view, from the physical makeup of it, that seems to make sense.
Banana plugs, either bantam, single, or what have you, are expandable. And I believe that's the only reason for that hole to be there. And it fits because it expands, or in this case, it contracts when you press it into the hole. And that's how the banana plugs work. You know, they have the spring, like a spring steel as you know, you push it in, and it would be hard. You don't want it moving around. You want a good connection. So that's what that hole's for. So you could try it. If you have another banana plug, push it into the hole. Push it in all the way until it stops, and you'll see.
Excuse me, what is it doing at that point, though? Because you pushed the wire to that point anyway, right? So you say it's going into the opening and touching the wire that's already in the opening?
Yeah, that hole is the actual body, not the plastic, the metal body of the banana plug itself. So as soon as you push it in, it makes connection to the existing connection that's there. You try it. If you have a separate banana plug not doing anything, you know, with a wire attached to it or no wire, push it into the hole, you'll see.
Could you be JGS?
Steve recognized. Actually, let me run for a minute. Steve, go ahead and pick it up with Andy. I'll be on site for a minute. KTKNB.
Hey, and good morning to you too. Hi, Andy.
What's happening? Going out shopping today? No, I mean, I saw that funny.
Mr. Wise Guy, honey. No, I'm just heading into the office to check the boot size on the at a site. I've got some antenna work going there, and I wasn't sure if I needed a new boot or not.
But you said boots? Is that B-O-O-T?
Singular. Boot. You know, like for antenna cabling?
That's what I'm visualizing. Yeah, that's what I thought you said. Boot. Like a rubber boot that goes over a connector that's weatherproof, that's supposed to keep water out. Something like that.
More like a feed-through. You know, it's a hole in the side of a building, sort of.
In this case, you have cables going through the building, and you got the boot. Yeah, okay. We have the same thing where I work. In the subways, yes. They core drill through the cement blocks of the room, and they put the round boot or what have you, and it actually becomes an airlock. Besides keeping all the dust out and everything else, it's because the roof do acquire steel dust over time from the trains on the tracks. And if you've been in the subways, you'll see that everything gets covered over time. It's really something. Especially when the track is going on a curve and you can hear the screeching sound. Every time it screeches, you know that it's eating away some of that steel. By the way, interesting note, there are some locations in the subways that they have oilers on the track automatically. Automatic oilers, when the track is on a steep curve, that prevent this from occurring to a degree. Not often, but it does. They do exist. Just to let you know.
Live and learn. The only way I get on the subway is when I get into the car. You know, I didn't see any point to my taking track training since I never use it anyway.
Time that you're down there, if you look around, or if you wish me, I could point out all the RF devices that are mounted on the ceiling and tunnels. And I'm talking about directional couplers, crossband couplers, splitters, T's, T2s, T1s, and all the stuff. There's a lot. But it kind of blends in with the ceiling, you don't notice it. But I know where they are.
Well, I know how to recognize some of the stuff that I've seen. It does its job.
If there's you can't get to it because it's on the other side of the track. So that's when you have to call for flagging
and take appropriate measures to get it replaced. We've had a few failures. They go bad. There was one that opened up completely. There was no signal.
It's not good. Stuff happens. It's amazing, actually, how long the stuff actually does last, considering the circumstances down there. You know, you get the same thing that you get in an elevator motor room. It's a bigger area, and there's more stuff going on, but, you know, you do get metal brake dust.
All right, of course. Because you got the brake on the mechanical part, or on the mechanics of the motor itself, and yes, that's what happened. I was up at Starrett City when I worked for NYPD, and I was in the motor room, and I was working in the cabinet, and I smelled something burning, and I turned around, and guess what? One of the relay, I'm trying to think of the word. There was a relay box with, for the elevator itself. And the whole thing was going up in flames. It was a fire. So I evacuated the room. But the room started filling up with smoke, and of course, called the fire department, and they came. And apparently it was going on when I got into the room, but didn't notice it.
Don't you hate when that happens? Yeah, I've been fortunate. I haven't had anything like that happen to me. Not surprising. You know, I mean, can you see somebody going, listen, I need a brake job on my elevator.
While you're at it, check the shocks. Check the shock absorbers. Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because they use the old-fashioned way. Of course, everything's changed now because it's all electronic. You know, they got away from the motor generator sets and they went into inverters and all digital stuff, and, you know, microprocessors and everything. But I was once asked, you know, how do they slow the elevator down as it approaches its floor? You know, because you notice when you're in an elevator, you know, it doesn't maintain the same speed. It slows down. So what they do is, in the old way, and I think that's what happened in this case, there's a bunch of stepping switches that turn. They're kind of like a worm gear type, and it incorporates a resistance into the circuit. And as you change the resistance, it slows it down, slows the car down, slows the motor down, which pulls the car, until it reaches its stop. And those resistors get pretty hot, because I've actually felt the heat from them over time, you know, as the elevator is being used. So they could burn up. And it's kind of interesting, the mechanics behind it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, well, I remember the story about the safety brake for elevators being the turning point for accepting it in the late 1800s. Interesting. I never looked into the mechanics of it, but I can understand why people would be concerned.
There's a lot to it, and it's actually a good business. Because if you think about it, how many elevators are there in New York City alone, in Manhattan? I'm going to say Manhattan. How many buildings are in Manhattan? How many buildings have elevators? So, it's a big business. And of course, as the technology has changed, you know, they've upgraded. So, but, yeah, I guess you can always get a job as an elevator repair mechanic.
But, you know, it's not what I'm looking to do.
Maybe our next life. Anyway, so we got into elevators talking about starting off with boots. So we got the boots to elevators. And that's where you're going. And I'm heading to the doctor. So I'm neither.
Heading north, up east or west?
I would say northwest.
Oh, okay, you're near me. I'm just by New Hyde Park Road.
I just passed it. I am not far from the repeater.
No, either am I. Hold on. Yeah, everybody's getting off at New Hyde Park South. Heavy up traffic over here.
Oh, okay. Yes. Oh. Okay. I already passed it, so. Actually, traffic is better than I thought. I left a little bit earlier because it gets a little bit backed up with the, as I mentioned, the school buses and everything up on the road, but I'm doing okay.
Yeah, I see everybody's getting to work at the last minute. They're all getting off at New Hyde Park Road and Lakeville Road. So, I guess they got to be in the work by 9.
Yep, you don't want to be late, which is a good thing, I guess.
Yeah, well, okay. It's telling me I should get off and go north on the Cross Island. That's usually not a good thing.
Sometimes I don't listen to what the GPS says because it takes me on a different route and I have assessed where you're going. Every time I go up to New Hampshire, Massachusetts, it keeps diverting me to, there's an Interstate 15, I-15, and it takes me off 95, cuts across 15, and then brings me back to, 87? I forget the route. And I say, I don't want to go that way. But I don't know why it decides to choose that route all the time. It's like, it never changes.
Yeah, that's all right. I got a real fun one. I'll head over to Westbury on Woodbury Road and dogleg over to West John Street. So it keeps wanting to bring me down the old country road. So I'm at the corner of 106 and West John, and it's telling me to make left, go down the old country road, drive down old country road, go to Charlotte, go north, and get on Prospect from there. And as soon as I cross the intersection, it goes from 2.4 miles to 1.1 mile, and down from 7 minutes to 4 minutes.
All right. Yeah, I know what you mean. It does that. Now, this is the road that I'm on now. I'm heading up to Great Neck. And if you're familiar with, what is this? Is this Lakeville Road? I'm not even sure. I just do it all the time. It drops down to one lane, and you can't pass. So if there's one slow vehicle, you get hung up. And I'm on that road now, and it's appalling because you got the traffic lights. Once it gets up to Northern Boulevard, it branches out into two lanes again. So this is the part that gets very congested in the morning over here.
Yes, I'm familiar with it. I've gone that way before, and I avoid it like the plague. I'd like to be too serious.
All right, WHCDL anyway. We're moving but slow. So yesterday was a flea market, and I didn't buy anything. I wanted to look around just to see if anything caught my eye, but I didn't. I didn't get a chance to. I was actually busy. In fact, I was so busy that the whole day went pretty quick. I set up early, and the next thing you know, it was almost 1 o'clock. And really didn't get a chance to stop. But I guess that's a good thing. So, and the weather held up, so we got lucky.
Yeah, I know. It just started raining about that time.
Funny, when I set up, and the skies were pretty clear, and then it, It got cloudy pretty quick, and that's what the forecast predicted anyway, so they were right about that. And next week is the Hall of Science, so we'll see what happens with that one.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a while. Sure. Should talk to Steve. I'm sure he's going to go to it. I don't know if I'll have the time.
I didn't see Steve there at all. Or did I? Nope, I didn't see him. I don't know if he was there. He might have been there, but I didn't walk around, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. You never know. Anyway, actually, it looks like this is moving. How pleasant.
I got to the Boulevard, so it was not as bad as it could have been. So, but I've been on this road where it's a lot longer to get up this far. So at least I'm up to the traffic light.
Yeah, well, I'm north of Northern also, and I'm looking to my right. Right neck is right there.
Are you heading to also Great Neck?
No, I'm going up to Cross Island. I'm across the border from Great Neck.
Okay, all right. Okay. Yeah, I've always liked this area. It's pretty nice. But it's more expensive. I guess it's like Garden City.
No, don't forget, it's part of what was known as the Gold Coast.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, a lot of doctor's offices up here, too. Great Neck is popular for that. All right. So, traffic by you is good, I'm assuming.
GCCCT, come again, 805, could you please?
Yeah, I am moving fairly well, and I'm actually getting up to the Throgneck Bridge.
GC, 805, K6DPZ.
All right, I'll be back, W8CDM.
Good seeing you, you're going to keep me out before I can get in. K6DPZQS. 05, Boosty could be up there.
Next tonight at 8:30, W2VL, repeater system.
All right, I'm just about at my location, Steve. I will talk to you. I don't want to be late. So, I'll speak to you later. If you're going to be around, I'll call you. W8CDO.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be in the office. Okay, talk to you later. WB2DSA. WB2ZSA. J2KMB, WB2ZS.
Cell phone number, Rich.
WB2ZSA.
KB2AZG Mobile.
K2KMB, WB2ZSA.
W2ZSDKB2AZG.
WB2ZSA, I'm sorry, who was that?
Kilo Bravo 2 Alpha Zulu Golf.
Oh, a voice from the...
Yeah, how you doing? I'm over here on what it looks like the sister from the south of the Long Island Expressway coming out of Raleigh, North Carolina. I was on their repeater over here, the 146-640, which is programmed from New York, and had to turn on it with the Raleigh repeater, so, but it's a little dead now, except for the traffic. It's looks like the expressway, smells like the expressway, but it's not.
Oh. hopefully the weather down there is nicer than it is up here. What you been up to?
Well, the weather down here was raining like you wouldn't believe. I got up at 5 in the morning to come up to Raleigh to do some licensing stuff for my burglar alarm systems that I have to get licensed here with. And we've been getting inches of rain, and I'm glad I filled in the concrete where my tower pad is, because it was always filling up with water and getting frogs. And but my pool's filling up. And but yeah, it's raining like crazy, so I don't know how it's there.
It's overcast. I got a feeling you're getting what we're going to get.
Well, this is raining since yesterday. There's a lot of it. It was really nasty. I could not believe. When we get a storm down here, it's tremendous. I mean, when I first came here, the first day I was in North Carolina, we couldn't see. You had to pull over. It was that bad. And this was similar to that. And some of my plants won't grow because of so much rain, but then it was dry for the rest of the year. But I think you're getting it. It came out from the Gulf. So you're probably getting the same thing.
Yeah, actually I think that's due to be here later in the day.
Yeah, it looks a little overcast here, but I don't know. It's supposed to clear up over here. So, which is good. I don't mind. Just saying, I'm trying to get out and take care of some stuff outside. I have an antenna I wanted to put up because I don't have my tower up yet. So I have my Gap Titan DX, which I really wanted to get up this week. The tower, I still have to weld it, and I still have to wait another 2 weeks for the concrete to dry. So I want to see if I'm up there.
Well, hopefully it'll be nice weather by then.
Come back with that again?
I said hopefully it will be better weather by then. Anyway, concrete doesn't dry, Andy. It cures.
Yes. And it cured me of my excess money in my wallet, too. Yes, I know it cured it. So that's on that curing. That's a dry curing, yes. And it's 7 feet, 6 inches deep, so they said it's going to take a little while. It's not like, a sidewalk or something like that. And it's 4x4x7 feet, 6 inches.
Did you concrete threaded rods into it for mounting the bottom plate?
I guess some of the trucks are about one by. Say that again.
I said, did you concrete the threaded rods into it for putting a mounting plate on it?
Yes, I have like a 7 foot rebar cage and a the rods with the, I mean, the template. On it. I bought a used tower, and I went to the manufacturer, and they gave me all the specs, and I had it shipped up here from Florida, and it's like it's a triangular mounting plate on the bottom, and the rods go into it, and then same thing is on the top, but that gets removed, then the parts there, it tilts over, you know, because it's a 55-foot crank-up tower, so I could tilt it over, and tilt it back up again anyway. So it's all in there, one inch thick rod. It's a heavy duty thing, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Oh. Sounds promising. It's certainly gonna be adequate for what you wanna do, I'm sure.
Well, you know, somebody offered me a 70-foot tower for the same price. It was $1,200, or $1,400. But that tower weighed 1,600 pounds, and this one weighed 400 pounds. This is aluminum, and I'd rather have this tower. I wasn't going to muscle that thing around. And the neighbors were nice. They helped me bring it, transport it. And it, since it was new, it's 6500 or something. I don't know. But I didn't realize all the other things. If I had bought a brand new tower, it would have been another $6,000 above that for the concrete and the rebar cage and all the other goodies. I didn't realize what it went into putting this size tower up, but I found out. So it'll be adequate. Definitely adequate. I have the rotor cables. I need a rotor cable, but that's about it. I need an antenna. I was going to buy one, and I'm spending a lot of money, so I'm looking for a used one. See which one I want to get.
Yeah, well, you got plenty of time. You know, you get the tower up, and you do some searching around to see what's available.
Yeah, I found a high, what was it, a TH something, MK3 or I don't know what it was, three elements. It sold for $600 new, selling for $200 used. I have to travel 6 hours though. So, I'm debating. You know, I was going to get something from Germany, but it was, you know, that was $1,600 by the time I'm finished. But all this stuff, and I said, you know what? My hobby is getting more expensive by the second without even buying test equipment, which I really want to add to my bench. So I'm going to buy an inexpensive beam, three element sensor, 20. If I can get it with work bands, it'd be great.
Yeah, you'll have to look around. I'm sorry, I didn't catch you, who just jumped in here.
Thanks, Steve. It's John, KD2IKX. Hey, Andy, the ARCETS is selling a high-gain THT, I think it is, -6. I believe it's a seven-element beam for $100.
So this ARCES, you said?
Yes, the American Red Cross Emergency Communications Club. They're located in Queens. Dave, myself, and a couple of other members of Limewalk are members of it. We cleaned out the locations for field day, and we had this beam antenna. They actually asked me to bring it to the Hamfest yesterday, but I forgot to bring it. It's in pretty good shape. I can send you a picture of it. I put it together temporarily on my front lawn. They're asking $100 for it.
Well, I pay for that, and I pay for the shipping, too. So, you know, I'll take it. You have information, I guess you have your email address or something like that. You know, I don't know if you know I'm in North Carolina right now.
To Iowa. Hey, Jeff. Jeff will tell you what kind of antenna it is. He knows what kind it is. Andy, it's my call sign at AOL. And Jeff, pick it up.
Hey. Andy, how you doing? It's a high gain TH6. Six elements on a 24-foot boom. Just so you're aware of it, there is an upgrade to make it a TH7 if you are inclined to do so, which is a great thing. No problem. John, would you do me a favor? Would you text me your address, please?
That's very interesting, Jack. Take my call sign and go to QRZ. It'll give you my address. But I'll text it to you anyway.
Yeah, this way I have it in my phone for investigation purposes. Ha ha.
Right, so we'll get back to Andy. Sorry, Steve, kind of jumped you out of the conversation there for a minute, but Andy, drop me an email at my call sign at AOL, and I'll shoot you a copy of the pictures. If you want any more detailed close-up pictures, like the traps and all that stuff, I'd be glad to do it. I don't know. When are you going to be up on Long Island? Maybe you can come pick it up.
Coming to Field Day, right, Andy? Be sure to see you.
Yeah, I'm going to field day, but they say y'all at my field day. But I don't know. It depends on when I'm going to be up there. I might visit my daughter. She's in Islip Terrace. So who knows? Actually, I'm going to visit. Well, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I'll give you a holler. I get your phone number and I get your email address now and all that good stuff.
Always ask your wife for my address. I mean, I send her a bill every quarter.
No, I know all that stuff. I'm in the car. That's all. Wow, this is like the Long Island Expressway. Unbelievable. The Expressway, except the exit is 283. So I guess you guys get the rain. I think we're leaving somebody out here.
We had Steve in there, but I think he got a phone call, so he jumped out. Andy, I also have a Cypress quad antenna, brand new, never used. I think it's a 10, 12, 15, 20, and 40. It's a quad, though. Send me an email. I'll send you down the specs on that, too, if you're interested in that.
Well, I'm interested. I just get my tower will be up about 2 weeks, I think. So if concrete, it should be cured by then, and it's going to go up. And I want to put some on top of it. So, but I've been spending. I can't believe how much money I've been spending on getting this thing done. I didn't think it was going to be that much, but it is. It is what it is. My first tower, motorized, and it's a nice. It's really nice. It'll be nice. So, did the Hamfest do okay? Yeah, sometimes I think the connection here cuts out. I don't know if you copy me now.
Andy, sorry, I got a phone call. You still in there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm getting onto a new road here, which is now picking up traffic, picking up in speed, which is good. The speed limit, for the most part, where I live, is 70 miles an hour on the highways and 50 miles an hour on the side roads. Good.
All right, I got to go do some paperwork, get my work done today. You know what that's like. All right, drop me your email. Again, it's mycallsign@aol.com. And I'll forward all the stuff that I have. And we'll see what we can do. And, we'll get you hooked up. Sounds like a plan. All right, Andy, have a good day.
Okay, cool. 73. I'll catch you later. KB2 AGZ, I'll be monitoring here. Actually, I'm going to wait for us as well. KB2 AGZ. In the mobile.
So is N2KW stroke mobile listening, repeat.
KUNB, WHCDL, are you sitting?
tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
W2CDL, are you listening?
Yesterday, programming it, and want to make sure I'm getting it right. And the audio is nice and clean over to you?
Yes, sir. This is Tom, KD2ESW. You're coming in nice and clear, hitting the repeater really well. Sounds really good off the repeater input, or output, I should say.
Thanks, Tom. First QSO. I was playing with it last night. I was measuring things, looking at it, getting used to it. Picked it up yesterday. I'm glad you're coming back because I spent a lot of time trying to set it up, check it out, and I didn't realize I hadn't had a QSO with it, KD2FIU.
Trying to come back in. I pulled my microphone out of my my head here. What'd you pick up, if you don't mind?
ICV 8000 VHF analog high power mobile.
Oh, like I said, you're coming in really clear into the repeater, sounding great. And glad to be here first QSO with the ring. KD2 ESW. Going
to
be monitoring the frequency.
Hello, George and Tuio.
Hello, Rich. Doing good here today. Come on in.
Okay, George. I hope I'm coming over that. And yes, it sounds great. Is it really used?